us to read the Word of God together, and then we'll pledge allegiance to our flag, and we'll have a word of prayer. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou might dig brass. When thou hast eaten, thou art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou not forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be filled up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Let's pledge allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Father, in Jesus' name, as we go into this message today and we talk about freedom, and freedom is not free, Father, that we understand how good you've been to us. How good you've been to us as believers, as Christians, Father, as your church. And Father, even as good as you've been to us, we haven't many times been very good to you, especially as a nation and even as a church. We've forgotten about you many times, Father, when we ought to be remembering you and praying to you and worshiping you and reading your word. So I pray you'll forgive us for that, Father. That, Father, you'll draw these people here today close to you, that we might be a lighthouse for the lost, that we might spread a gospel message in this land that's becoming ever more lost as we progress. Bless now this time we have together. There's one here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, that today would be the day they would receive you as their Lord and Savior and enter into a relationship with you. Bless now this time we have together. May Jesus be high and lifted up here in this place, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Folks, this passage that we have just read really is a passage that tells about the blessings of the Lord. You could read this passage today based upon the history of our land and of our great nation, and it would almost apply to the nation of America. Amen? Because we've been blessed. We've been given so much more than still in the world we live in today, more than anybody else has on the planet. One of the things that our nation and its younger generations need not forget is that the freedom that we have today and the blessings of God that we have received, that freedom came at a cost, came at a tremendous cost. It cost this nation and its soldiers greatly over the years to keep our nation and even the world free. World War I and World War II were for world freedom as well as freedom in this land, not just freedom for our nation. But the thing that concerns me today, my friends, is we have literally raised up three generations since the World War II generation, three generations that have forgotten what it's like to live under the threat of tyranny. And simply because they're not attacking our borders today from foreign lands and ships does not mean that we're in any less danger of falling as a country. The greatest fear of this land and the forefathers of this land is not so much that an outside force would come and attack us and take us over, but rather that we would implode from the inside. Amen? That has been the greatest fear of our forefathers. Because sometimes when people have freedom, sometimes when they're free to move about, They get fat, they get lazy, don't they? They get complacent many, many times. And as a result of that, they forget the principles that brought them to the point of their freedom. This is truly one nation under God. I don't care how any Supreme Court rules. I don't care what any Congress would say, my friends. The bottom line is, if you look through the history of this nation, we are one nation under God that has been blessed by God the same way that the nation of Israel is blessed in this passage that we just read. Alexis Tocqueville, a French writer, visited America in 1831. He said this, "I sought for greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, for the greatness of this U.S. in her fertile fields and boundless forests, but it was not there. I sought for it, her greatness, in rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it, her greatness, in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America," this Frenchman said, "and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness, did I understand the secret of her genius and her power and her greatness." Then he goes on to say, "America is great because America is good. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Written by a Frenchman in 1831. Folks, is that ever true today? My friends, we are increasingly becoming more and more of a pagan society. More of what would be called a third world nation. Today, we celebrate this whole week the signing of the Declaration of Independence that our forefathers signed to declare our independence from England and make this country a free land. This was a very fateful and dangerous decision to make against the greatest world power of the day, which was England. But yet some men rose up with some courage, with some backbone, with some fortitude, and they wrote the Declaration of Independence, which guaranteed a war with, again, I say, the greatest power on the earth. In fact, as John Adams signed it, the Declaration, he said, "Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence. And if God wills it, I'm ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom." My friends, it was that kind of patriotism which led men, armed with little more than just hunting rifles, to engage in battle in what was the most powerful nation, against the most powerful nation on the world, in the world. Folks, freedom is not free. Freedom has cost the lives of millions of Americans so that we can be free today. And it grieves me, much like it grieves many of you, I'm sure, to see those freedoms that we strove so hard to gain be diminished today. All in the name of fighting terrorism. All in the name of security, so they say. And we see the infringement of our rights diminishing day by day. In this passage that we just read about the abundant blessings of God to Israel, that's what it was about. My friend, God has been so good to this nation because this nation has always blessed God in the past. I believe that. I believe that the reason why this nation has prospered greater than any nation on earth, and it's hard to argue that. I don't care who you are, it's hard to argue the fact that God has blessed this nation more than any other nation on planet earth. You go back throughout history and you look at the American experiment, and it is without precedent. Most governments, most nations have been led by tyrannical dictators and kings. This nation is led by the people, for the people, of the people, supposed to be. And I pray that that never changes. But folks, I'm telling you, I've never seen a day in time like we have today. And we see little subtle erosions of our freedoms, don't we? I believe this last week in the Defense of Marriage Act that was struck down by the Supreme Court. Folks, it's going to be, that's just the foot in the door. They've tried to whitewash it and make it look real pretty and palatable to get people to accept it, because that's what they do. They don't want the church and they don't want God's people all stirred up and fired up, because the church can be a very powerful force. So they say, well, you know, it's just for benefits and this, that, and that. Let me tell you what, it's just the beginning of what we're seeing in our country today. You think that your freedom of expression and of religion has been somewhat challenged at this point? You ain't seen nothing yet. Today, there are pastors in Canada that are locked up because they said what they taught, what the Bible taught on issues such as abortion, the gay rights movement and things like that, homosexuality, and they have literally been jailed for what they call hate speech, for doing nothing more than preaching the Word of God. Read Romans chapter 1 sometime in your homework this week, and you see what the Bible says, what God has to say, what constitutes a marriage and morality. But we are seeing this eroded every single day. But I believe God has been good to us in the past, as I said earlier, because this country has blessed God in the past. But we are losing the focus of the Almighty in the land. And we will eventually lose the freedom that was so expensive to many of our forefathers that have gone on before us. We need to understand the fact that freedom is not free. And it seems like within the last 5 to 6 years, I've seen a deterioration of the morals in this nation at an unprecedented rate and level. I never thought a country could fall so far so fast. It just seems like we have in the last past 5 to 6 years. And if we're not careful, church, and if we don't wake up as a church, we're going to be in trouble. Do you know that the healing of the land, the healing of a nation, has been solely placed upon the soldiers of God's people? God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I heal their land. Not until God's people look towards him. In the Old Testament, it was the nation of Israel. In the New Testament today, it's the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, we need to understand that freedom is not free. We want to look at four things this morning, four things that declare that. First of all, freedom is not free. Focus on the blessings of the Lord. Freedom is not free. Focus on the blessings of the Lord. Verses 6 through 10 deal with that. Verse 6 says, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Folks, freedom comes from God. Freedom is not some invention of some human personality. Freedom is something that God intends for all humanity. Amen? He wants us to be free. Sin is what enslaves us. National sin, national greed is what enslaves us. It is a blessing of those who remember God and his commandments. That's what verse 6 says. Folks, there was a time when we respected the law of God. Today, it's a crime to display the Ten Commandments. Here, the Bible says, you know, in verse 6, keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. And today, in this day and time, it's against the law to display them in any public venue. How many times have you heard where the Ten Commandments have been yanked out of a piece of public property, open to the public? The Ten Commandments. Well, separation of church and state. The bottom line is, if you read the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Boy, that's bad for a nation, isn't it? To practice stuff like that's going to warp people, isn't it? Thou shalt not commit adultery or covet thy neighbor's wife, or just a list of 10 basic rules or laws of God cannot even be displayed in our country anymore. Can't do it in the classroom. You can't do it in any public forum. The Bible is looked at as a threat, as well as praying in Jesus' name. A little bit surprised this past week, I went to the Sumter Correction Facility, and they're doing this this every year. Once per year, they invite pastors and dignitaries and sheriffs, and the sheriff comes, and county commissioners, and they invite them all into the prison system. They have a big meeting from about 9 to noon. They feed us a real good lunch. Boy, they tell you, well, they wine us and dine us without the wine. But they dine and treat us real good. And they want us there, you know, and they want the support from the area, community. And it really surprised me. I did notice the chaplain got up and he prayed to Almighty Father and did his thing. He is a good man, by the way. I have talked to him before. But he is limited on what he can say and what he can do as a state employee. But they did have a private pastor got up, and I noticed he closed, and when he closed his prayer, he said, "In Jesus' name, amen." Do you know that just praying in Jesus' name will get you fired from some state institutions today or federal? You can't even pray in Jesus' name. The most loving, compassionate person in history that ever walked on the earth is looked at as a threat for national security. Reading the Bible, there was a time in public schools where you could bring a Bible, you could read a Bible. You could do a book report on a Bible story. My father, in junior high school, going back even until I'd say probably the mid to late 70s, had a Bible study class before school started every morning. Every morning, my father went in early, went to work early, and had a Bible study, and he would have a group of kids, a whole classroom full of kids that would come, and they would sit down. It was not forced. They could come, or they didn't have to come. And they sat down, and he taught them the Bible and prayed with them. And it was blessed by the principal of the school. I'll tell you what, my father would not have survived in the system today. I'm glad one day he's not around to see it on how we have digressed as a nation. Today, you try to do that, you'll lose your job, you lose your position. They almost want to lock you up. Folks, the Founding Fathers revered and respected the precepts of the Word of God and those precepts. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their what? Creator. Even our Founding Fathers acknowledged the fact that we were created by a Creator. We did not evolve from a monkey. With certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Declaration of Independence. Again, the emphasis is on Creator. Patrick Henry was a famous statesman of colonial Virginia. 1764, he was elected to Virginia House, where he became a champion of frontier people, fighting against the tyranny of that day. In 1774, he was a delegate to the First Continental Congress. 1775, before the Virginia Convention, which was deeply divided in those days, and he was the one who uttered these words, "Give me liberty or give me death." Folks, I thank God for the young people that are still volunteering for the services, that are still going, fighting a war, wars, plural, today. I thank God for those men and women still wanting to do that for God and country. Amen. You know, if you talk to most of our soldiers today, you don't see a lot of atheists in foxholes. I've always heard that. You don't see a lot of atheists in foxholes. A lot of them boys are born again. Why is that? Because they see a lot of life and death issues every single day. They know what it's like to get out of the element of freedom and the joys that we've been blessed with as a nation, and to suffer and die on the battlefield. We need to focus on the blessings of God. We are a nation that has been blessed, very blessed by God. Look at the way that the nation of Israel was blessed by God in verse 7 of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, and springs of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." In other words, God is saying, you're going to have plenty of food and bread in the land that I bring you to. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and whose hills that thou mayest dig brass. It says, when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land that he has given thee. You know why I still get up and pledge allegiance to my flag? You know why I still say, God bless America, sing the song, God bless America? I sing the national anthem, and I respect our flag. Tears sometimes come down my face when I see our soldiers come home and are greeted. And then when I still sing that national anthem, sometimes my eyes still well up with tears. You know why? Because I thank God for the blessings of my country. I can go out and I can work. I can start a business. I can take care of my family. I can do all those things, and I can worship my God in a land that is free. Folks, it's not, freedom is not free. Focus on the blessings of God. Number two, freedom is not free. Heed the warning of God. Look at verse 11. Beware that lest thou forget the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I commanded this day. Beware that thou forget not the Lord your God. God warns Israel not to forget God. It seems like sometimes when God blesses, the people get fat, lazy, and self-centered. When things are going well and they have plenty, they tend to put God on the back burner and do things their own way. And folks, we see that, I believe, in our land today. They have cast God aside and begun to depend upon self. Well, we're a smart nation. Look at all the technology we got. We can win wars now by drones. We don't need to put soldiers in harm's way. We can fly a plane up there and bomb from the sky. And sometimes we think we're so smart, we're so good, and our pride swells up within us that we forget the God of the blessings that has brought us to the point that we are today. Did you know that this week is the 51st anniversary? Matter of fact, this last weekend was the 51st anniversary of prayer banned in public schools and public rooms. 51 years of God being expelled. Now let me ask you the question. Common sense. Are our school systems better today than they were 50 years ago? Be honest. Are our schools today better than they were 50 years ago? I'm telling you what, it seems to me 50 years ago, through the prime, I was in school 50 years ago. I remember coming through schools. I remember the Gideons coming in and handing all of us kids little red Bibles. They were allowed to do that. They came in. There was one day that was a Gideon day, and it was only about an hour, half an hour long, and he wouldn't preach a message. One of these businessmen would come in with their Gideon Bible and made sure everybody had their, whoever wanted one. If they didn't want one, that's fine. It never was forced on anybody. But if you want one, come get, guess what? Every student went up and grabbed it. They wanted a copy of the Bible. I can remember that. I can remember standing for a moment of silence. A prayer gave way to a moment of silence. You know, I don't even have a problem with a moment of silence in honor for those that want to pray. We have forgotten God, that God has created the true family and not man, not the judicial system and not the government. The government has not created marriage and the family. The Supreme Court, the courts of our land have not created families and government. God has created families. And this past week, our nation has decided to subvert the power of God. Our court system, our highest court in the land, and said, we know more than God knows. We're going to recognize and give benefits to homosexual couples. Folks, let me tell you what, and I am so proud of the Southern Baptist Convention because they issued a statement immediately. And they said this, that homosexuality is an abomination. Coming from our national office. And I thank God they took a stand on it. thought some things they've done times past that might have angered me, but they did a good one this time. Folks, I believe we'll be persecuted for that as believers. I listened to Dennis Rainey this week on family life issues, and he made the comment. He says, I never thought in my lifetime that I would live long enough to see the persecution of Christians and pastors in this country. He said, but the game last week was a game changer. You have no idea the impact of what will happen this past week. Folks, we as Americans are not heeding the warning of God. We are not seeking the statutes of God. God is the one who has sanctified life. He is the one that has the power over life and not man, not the court system, not the government. He is not the one who chooses life. And I'm sorry, ladies, not a woman either. God gives life. And nobody has the right to pluck it out of their bodies. But what about my right to choose? You've got a right to choose. You've got a right to choose who you go to bed with. Amen? Tell me, you've got a choice, please. You've got a right to choose. When are you going to make a choice? God has commanded that we discipline our children, teach them God's word, but we've outlawed God, like we said before, in all public arena. Let me give you another one. Freedom's not free. Avoid taking advantage of it. Look at verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be filled up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. It seems like God understands true human nature, doesn't he? He says, after you've eaten, after you've drank, after you've filled up, after you've got plenty, after your bank accounts are full, and your 401ks are full, and everything's going just really, really good for you, are you going to forget me, basically, is what God is saying here. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget thy Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. God just did a great work in Israel's life. He delivered them from an oppressor. 400 years of slavery. God delivered Israel. And he knew their hearts. He knew that prosperity would build pride and self-reliance rather than God-reliance. But he still blessed his land. We feel that our prosperity is based upon our own abilities to prosper rather than God prospering us. All blessings flow from above. And we need to beware of pride. And yes, my friends, even what is called American pride. Let me tell you right now, pride goes before a fall. Always has, always will. Don't get me wrong, I'm proud of my country and I'm proud to be an American. But the reason I am is because I'm proud, I'm a child of God. And I'm proud of my God. I never put country over God. I put God over country. Country's only about, what, 225, 230 years old? Somewhere right around there. Over 200 years old. God's been around a lot longer than that. Amen. The church has been around way a lot longer than that. I thank God for the American experiment. I thank God for my nation. But I thank more the God of America. The God that has caused it to happen. Sometimes our proclaimed freedom is a thing that enslaves us. And that's the problem with sin, is that we think we're free. But many times we get caught up in sin, and sin enslaves us. Titus 3:3 says, Paul says, at one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and entangled by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We live in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Because sin enslaves people. We are allowing ourselves, because of our sinful state and condition, to be enslaved by our unthankfulness and the unthankfulness of our heart. We need to be mindful of it, of the power of sin in our life. Dr. Wilbur Chapman, speaking of sin, told of a distinguished minister, Dr. Howard from Australia, who preached very strongly on the subject of sin. He said, after the service, one of his church officers came to counsel with him in his study and said this, "Dr. Howard," he said, "we don't want you to talk as openly as you do about man's guilt and corruption. Because if our boys and girls hear you discussing that subject, they will be more easily become sinners. Call it a mistake if you will, but do not speak so plainly about sin." Can you imagine that, telling a preacher that? Believe you me, I was almost told that one time by none other than a deacon's wife. Anyway, the minister took down a small bottle and showed it to the visitor and said, "You see that label? It says strychnine. And underneath in bold red letters is the word poison." If you've ever seen that on a poison bottle. He said, "Do you know, man, what you're asking me to do? You are suggesting that I change the label. Suppose I do and paste over it with the words essence of peppermint instead of strychnine. Don't you know what might happen? Someone would use it without knowing the danger involved and would certainly die," he says. "So it is also with the matter of sin. The milder you make your label, the more dangerous becomes your poison." That's the problem in the pulpits today, friends. And I do blame the pulpits today. I think it all comes back to that. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ uncompromisingly. Trying to cater to a crowd just for the sake of a crowd. We've got people out there and pastors, I'm ashamed to say they've done that. And it's Cowtown, and they're using terms today that really angers me. They love the word relevant. Matter of fact, I heard one pastor in one church got convicted by it, took the word relevant right out of anything to do with his church. For instance, they'll say, "Well, we preach relevant sermons around here." Really? That's kind of an arrogant statement to say, isn't it? What do you consider relevant? What do you consider? I know what he means. We don't talk about all those messy issues like the blood and about sin and all these other kind of things. We just come in, we want to just pump people up, make them feel good, give them a little warm fuzzy, and send them on their way. They've watered down the gospel, and they've watered down sin under the term of relevancy. Let me tell you what, my friends, from cover to cover, this book is relevant today. It's relevant. It's relevant for you, it's relevant for me, and it's relevant for our nation. We have forgot the precepts. Let me give you one more. Freedom is not free. It cost Jesus Christ. It cost Christ. The last part of 14, "Forget, then thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth from the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage." Not only did freedom cost our American soldiers dearly, but it also cost our Savior and our Lord dearly, who died for the sins of all men to set us free. Christians have a greater freedom today, my friends, than any constitution affords us. We know that this world is not our home. I love living in America, but I'm not going to be an American all my life. I'm a citizen of heaven. One of these days, I'm going to call, God's going to rapture me up, and I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ and with God. Amen? In a beautiful land that will never die, that will never corrupt, and I'll be with the presence of my God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And all those people that have denied Jesus Christ and denied God and spit in the face of God will be damned to an eternal hell and a lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible talks about it. Read Revelation 20 on. The beautiful thing about heaven is not so much what's there, because there's a lot of beauty there. The beautiful thing about heaven is what is not here. And that is the filth of this world. Why is that? Because it cost my Jesus. Christ paid a high price with his life. He shed blood for our sins. He not only saved us, but he watches over us daily, and he prospers his people who remember him. Now, I'm not one of those prosperity preachers who will sit here and tell you that simply because you're a Christian and you believe in God and you're faithful to God, that you're going to be rich financially. And all you got, you're going to have a big home and a nice house. Because those guys that preach that, let me tell you what, that's foolishness and that's baloney and that's greed. And that's totally against the character of the nature of Jesus Christ. But I will tell you this, you'll life to come. By the way, think of it. What is it, eternity? What is this life? The 67, 80, 90 years? Let's say you live to be 100 years old. What is that in comparison to eternity of dropping the bomb? A drop in the ocean. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. But yet we got people that are giving up everything for this life. Jesus Christ said, what can you lay down for me? You take up your cross and follow me in this world. He paid a high price. He saved us. He watches over us daily. He fosters his people who remember him. Folks, freedom is not free. I'll close with this. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Their conviction resulted in untold suffering for themselves. This is the price they paid for just declaring, signing the Declaration of Independence and their families. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy, all of them. He sold his home and property to pay his debts and died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. That name kind of ring a bell. You heard of Thomas Nelson by anyone? Nelson quietly ordered General George Washington to open fire on the Nelson home. Why was that? He would rather do that than have it be General Cornwallis' headquarters. He lost everything. His home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and mill were destroyed. For over a year, he lived in a forest and caves, returning home only to find his wife dead and his children vanished, all 13 of them. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion. My friends, the freedom you enjoy in this country is declared by the Declaration of Independence, and the freedom you have cost your lives, a tremendous amount of lives, so much suffering. It wasn't free. And your freedom today that you enjoy as a child of God, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, was given by the ultimate sacrifice, the death of the King. Amen? And he did it for you and he did it for me. Folks, you'll not be able to spit in the face of Jesus Christ by rejecting him forever. And that's what you do when you walk away without receiving him as Lord and Savior. If you think God's going to let you into heaven, having heard the message of his Son and rejected it, you've got another thing to do. And I don't care what any cult teaches you. There is no second chance after this chance. This life is the launching pad to the next life. And the decisions that we make in this life by faith, and our faith in Jesus Christ, determines where we will stand eternally. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never prayed and asked Jesus into your heart, we're going to give you a chance to do that today. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Pastor, what do I believe? Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Believe that he's sitting next to the right hand of the Heavenly Father on high, ready to hear our prayer. And if you believe all those things, you believe everything you need to believe, you become a child of God. The only thing you need to do is ask him to save your life. He'll do that. That's your responsibility. That's the choice that God has given you to respond to the Spirit of God upon your life and your heart. Don't resist him. Don't cast him aside. Receive him today. And if that's you, you want to do that today, you can do that by a prayer. Pray something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, please come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Please save me. Please make me one. rose from the dead. Today, you're waiting to hear my prayer. Please, Lord, make me one of your children. To do that, I give you praise, I give you honor, I give you glory. Of course, in Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer by the authority of the Word of God, you're a child of God. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. You go to God on behalf of our church and people here. If you pray and you ask Christ for your heart and life, I'll not embarrass you. I don't embarrass people. But I'd love to think of you. You say, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer and I asked Jesus for my heart and life. In just a moment, when you close your prayer, when you think of me, I'd love to do that in my prayer. Maybe you pray and you ask Christ for your heart and life. If you simply wouldn't mind, slip your hand up and down. I'd love to think of you. Not call your name, not call your name. I just want to pray for you. Pastor, I pray for you. Just pray that prayer and I ask Jesus for my heart. Will you pray for me? Hands up and down. Look for me. Anybody else? Let's all stand as we go to God in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, bless now this time of invitation, of offering. I pray, Father, if there's one here who's been saved but never been baptized, that they would come forward, present themselves as a candidate for baptism, maybe church membership, Father, if they feel this is the place that you're leading them. Bless now this time we have together in this invitation. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This beautiful song plays, quietness of this place. Whatever your need is. Maybe it's just to come up to an old-fashioned altar and pray. Pray for a loved one. Pray for yourselves. Any one of these decisions that we just talked about, church membership, baptism, or you pray and ask Christ, you come right now. Just step out. Let us rejoice with you. Let us pray. Will you let us do that? You come right now. God's people said, amen. Some of you may have questions about some of the things we dealt with this morning. I'll be around here for a few moments after services. If you'd like to talk to me about that, that'll be great. I will be here. Well, folks, listen, you have a blessed week this week. We have Sunday school classes that are just about ready to kick in. And I believe Rick's back there serving breakfast. He's still got time to get in on that. And by the way, I had some this morning. Really good. And pray for each other this week. And listen, this coming 4th of July, everybody be safe. And let's celebrate the freedom that we have. Amen? Celebrate that. And remember the one who gave us that freedom, the real one who actually did that. Okay? Let's go to God and pray.